Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Dixie Transportation Executive Council meeting for February. Hey-o, back there. We're going to get started, so I'm officially calling this meeting to order. We have a quorum, and thank you all for being here. First item of business is to consider the meeting minutes of January 21st, 2025. Jan always does a perfect job of it, but if anybody wants to contest it, you may. Didn't think so. Are you moving we approve?
I wasn't there.
It's okay.
I can move to approve.
All right, I think I got it from Nagy a second somewhere.
I'll get a second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Jumping to the 2025 Transportation Expo report, Myron.
We can all share this. Our Transportation Expo was Tuesday last week. We had 831 visitors this year.
Down
a little bit from last year. At the MPO booth, we talked about the long-range plan. We got a lot of comments on our projects. A lot of people were there just to get information to find out what their future will look like. It was fairly positive feedback that we got, and that we were able to answer a lot of questions that people had. It was very convenient when people asked about St. George City projects that I could point over to the St. George City booth and said, go talk to them. And when they asked about UDOT projects, we could say, well, they're right there. Go talk to them. And it worked out really well for us. We did receive several written comments. Most of our written comments were about the Northern Corridor, both in favor and against. There has been quite a stir with the recent happenings on the Northern Corridor. A lot of people upset about the loss of their trails and the loss of the habitat if the Salem folks were able to develop their ground. We also saw a bunch of Western Corridor enthusiasts there, both in favor and against. Some of them were mildly concerned that it was still going through the Sun River development and will continue to be planned in that way.
Do they know it's 25 years out and they're not going to be around even watching that?
Well, yeah. With that said, the angst of that corridor actually going in was fairly subdued because it's a 55 and older community that won't be around in 25 years. We also heard a lot of comments about transit, about SunTran, and we pointed them to the SunTran booth and said go talk there. But there were quite a few comments over the inadequacies of the transit system and calls to do a little bit better with that. And I mean, what did you all see? There were several of us here in the room that were at the expo. What were your experiences?
Myron at the SUBA, Southern Utah Bicycle Alliance booth, overwhelming positive comments. Everybody is very, very pleased with the work that has been done. It's, if they remember where we were last year in active transportation and where we are this year, so we would get comments about, well, I saw that gap's been closed. What about this gap? So very positive, and always thinking moving forward, they're really excited. The one negative comment that we heard was the speed of e-bikes, the fact that everybody is racing on e-bikes. Danielle was there.
Yeah, and we were just talking to Lloyd about, you know, the funding for the etiquette. So we've worked really hard to create this etiquette program for the whole county for the trails, so people will slow down on their e-bikes, hopefully, and be more considerate. But we don't know if that funding is going to come through, so that might be a conversation that we want to have further with DTEC, is do we want to look at funding to get signs up around the county to maybe just encourage people to slow down and announce when they're passing and keep their speeds low. I mean, we've clocked people coming down SR18 trail, you know, well over 40, 50 miles an hour sometimes on their bikes. So it's dangerous. And if there's a little family walking, on that same trail. It's just a dangerous interaction. So we're hoping that that etiquette program will help to remind people that they're sharing the trail.
They ride motorcycles on it below my house, which is right there.
Yeah, that's something you talk about.
I know you're working through new signage for the front of the trail, and I just thought that talking to Shane Moore that it ought to say, you know, absolutely no motorcycles, and a giant red sign for the skull and crossbones.
And Commissioner, that would include electric motorcycles.
Yeah. And that's part of the problem is there are electric motorcycles, and so they're considering that they're calling them bicycles, but they're an electric motorcycle with just the throttle.
Yeah.
You know what, up in Springdale, we obviously people rent a lot of e-bikes, and we have a bike ambassador program, and it's just residents of Springdale that ride around, and if they see people doing something wrong, they don't chastise them, but they talk to them about bike etiquette. Try to watch to see that nobody's using a throttle when riding the bike without pedal assist and that kind of thing. And that's been pretty successful, especially on the Peyrus Trail where they're sharing the trail with families and dogs and walkers and that kind of thing. So something like that could be really helpful.
Barbara, are they branded at all like a shirt, or are they just random people saying, like, how do you get somebody not putting that? Why are you talking to me? Where are you?
You know, I don't think they do have any kind of shirt or anything. I think they just identify themselves as bike ambassadors. But, you know, the shirt would be a good idea, so people know that.
I don't think you can. Well, since you've got some experience, it'd be nice if you put together a list of suggestions for us to consider, because I think that, I mean, it's becoming an increasingly frightening problem, actually. And I think we do need to address it.
Well, and a lot of the people that rent e-bikes haven't ridden a bike maybe ever, but certainly not in a long time, and they get on this e-bike and it gets away from them, and we've seen a lot of accidents, so we have required that bike shops have an area where they can kind of let people ride around before they put them out on the road. So I can put something together on.
I think it would be helpful. So do the rental outfits place any emphasis on training etiquette when they send these folks out on these?
They say they do, but in all honesty and all fairness to them, we haven't really given them guidelines, you know, that are countywide. So I think that's part of what the etiquette program was for, so that we can hand that to those shops also and say, countywide, we have these expectations. Lloyd could speak further to it. I mean, we've already gone through, basically, it's ready to go. It's just the funding for the signage. Is that right, Lloyd?
Yeah, so this body approved funding for that federal funds, which is a kind of a question mark over whether those will actually be available. Even though they've been approved through this body. So we do have that pending funding available, but there may be some other ways we need to get creative to implement that if that funding isn't available.
Councilwoman, would that be like an interlocal thing, or would it be ran through like more like Bicycle Alliance? Or?
Yeah, that was the plan, was for it to be interlocal. So St. George, basically, it's created now, this etiquette, the etiquette guidelines and the plans kind of giving you ideas of what your signage could be, and then the plan was to give it to each entity in the county and say, you know, you can do with this as you wish, and then I suppose they could apply for funding. I mean, we could talk about that. Could they apply for funding through the MPO, or how would that work? St. George has its own signage department. Most cities, I'm sure, don't, so it would be a little more challenging for smaller cities.
So here's what I suggest. You're monitoring what's going to happen with the federal funding. Why don't you let us know when it would be appropriate to have that as an agenda item so that we can cover all this in detail? And if you wouldn't mind piecing together some starting points for us to think about.
Should I send that to you?
That'd be great. All right, other observations about the expo, which is actually what we're talking about. Yeah.
I just read all the comments that were put on the grand map, especially about Northern Corridor, et cetera, but there were a couple of comments on there about Zone 6, and I was hoping somebody would explain there that it wasn't the county or even this body that took away their trails, et cetera, by having it revert back to Settlers Option. It was CSU, Conservative Southwest. I mean, if you're in the room, you own that. So
there is a tremendous amount of misunderstanding about that.
Yeah, thank you for that. Anyway, I was observant of that, those comments on there, like Myron said. But anyway.
Okay. I just want to thank staff. I think this, I constantly get good feedback as far as people when they talk to me about the expo. I think it's a positive for the community. So, good work.
Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? By the way, before we go any farther, I want to thank Jay-Ann for all she does to get these meetings ready. We're trying out this have lunch before the meeting concept this month. And I think we like it better, right?
Yeah, we succeeded this time.
That was not her fault, by the way. The story is, the delivery person was on the road for 45 minutes trying to find us or something, right?
Yeah. At least
that's a lousy GPS system, is all I can say.
You know, it's easy.
What were you saying?
I just have one comment about the expo. I missed our GTECH meeting in January, and I never received an email about the expo. And I knew it was coming up, but I just didn't have it on my calendar. And I never saw it on anything.
Yeah.
So I didn't see it on a Facebook post, or I never saw it on a newsletter or anything else. So I'm just saying we might need to do a better job to advertise.
I agree with that.
Because if I didn't see it, I don't think there's a lot of people.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, and it was actually Arthur. I received an email. I was already in a meeting on the day, and I went, I don't even have like 10 minutes I can drive to St. George and get them because I had so much going that day. So I'm just saying, I think maybe a little bit more to the community might. And then if you give it to our cities, maybe to our cities, put it out there in our newsletter or something.
Yeah, that would help a lot.
Thank you.
All right, that it? Leeds North Interchange Project. This sounds very interesting.
So, as you're aware, this body approved some funding, $100,000, to do a study of the location of where we would ideally put the North Leeds Interchange. We're well into the project. We have met with the mayors and the city individuals out there on site. We've met last week. We met with the property owners on Thursday that are in the area and let them know what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Good feedback.
And we got a lot of feedback and a lot of suggestions of what to look at. Mayor Hoster, you want to take it from there?
I thought it was an excellent meeting. It was well received by all the property owners, many who have a lot of anxiety about their property being impacted. And I thought the effort to listen and receive that information and pass it into the study you had was Aaron. I don't know what Aaron's company is.
Aaron Baker.
Yeah.
With Horrocks Engineers.
Horrocks. Yeah. So you know, them out there to talk about the engineering stuff. And so I think communication is going to be the best way to identify paths forward, and you executed that really well. So I know that it's got a lot of people anxious, and this is a developer-funded interchange, which is a little bit different than I think the normal UDOT interchange. And so there are a lot of moving parts, but fortunately we've got, you know, I think a good pathway forward for all to be involved.
We should finish that study up by June so that we can.
So do you have are you starting to zero in on your alternatives where you have your first alternative?
And locations?
Locations, yeah.
No. My understanding is the study is supposed to identify that.
Yep.
Many of the property owners presented challenges that could be associated in different locations, which is very educational. They've lived there for many years and have seen the ins and outs of how things work, and so it was well received. I know there's a lot of concern about functionality in that area. So to be able, and you know, it was certainly raised that eminent domain is really off the table.
Yeah.
So you know, it's a functionality process, and how will this work with keeping traffic out of downtown Leeds and more onto the interstate for those many new rooftops that are going in Tuckerville and Leeds and north there, Solaris. to go into St. George without disrupting the rest of the communities.
Were the property owners somewhat open? I mean, I know there's probably a lot of discussion.
They were very apprehensive at first, but I think by listening to them, their concerns, and working with them, we offered our Clorox as they go through this study, and we're still in the early phase of the study, right? And they're out there analyzing the data. You know, how many cars would this serve or that one? And they're trying to look at the geography a little bit and choose two or three options of where an interchange could be and then come up with a preferred alternative. But they're in the early phases of doing that study. And before rumors got the best of us, we felt like we needed to meet with the property owners. We'll have a follow-up meeting with them in late June or July to share the results of the study. We'll, of course, bring that also back to this body.
Well, I appreciate you doing it. I mean, talking with Mayor and you, Myron, I felt like we needed to kind of get ahead of it because there was a lot of rumors and stuff flying out there.
Really good execution on working with that community, so thanks.
So Maverick is probably waiting until you actually decide where it's going to go before they buy their corner, right?
I think Sap has already got the market corner of the house, so we're safe.
You know, I was coming to speak to Maverick, and I'm one of their favorite customers. But I pulled off someplace in Salt Lake, they had Mavericks on both sides.
Yes,
yeah. Oh, okay.
It's right off 90th South. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, that's Love's.
Yeah,
90
South has
one
right across the street.
I think it was
90
South.
Yeah, on the west side, I-15 there. Yeah.
Well, plan on them. Looks like they're going
good
everywhere.
Point. Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, this next item is kind of a two-part. We're going to do them one at a time. So the basic heading here is that we're going to consider programming recommendations from the technical committee for the 2025 through 2029 Transportation Improvement Fund. So let's do these separately, beginning with the reassigned funds previously programmed to Washington City's Red Hills Parkway widening and all the rest of that, to a new project to extend Washington City Main Street to 100 East, an $890,000 project. Myron, you the lead on this?
Yeah, so Washington City's in the room, so, right?
I don't see
it. Kurt? Kurt?
Oh.
Kurt Ivey.
He's so easy to overlook.
We were talking about something else.
We had previously programmed some of our small urban funds to a project in Washington City to widen out Red Hills Parkway. The city didn't realize up front that they needed to do the environmental study, and they were halfway finished with the project before they had that realization. So they have asked if we would move that federal funding from the Red Hills Parkway widening project, which is open now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. From that project to a project to extend Main Street down and do a little bit of a curve. Now, on the board, there, the left side is north, but they would bring, as Main Street came down through 400 South, they would extend Main Street in this area over to 100 East, with the idea that eventually that would have a tie-in to Industrial Road and into Washington Fields Road.
Yeah, we have that. We have that on our traffic plan.
Right. As you're all aware, the new interchange off of I-15 feeds directly into Washington City's Main Street, and the city feels like this would be a good use of those federal monies. DTAC met 2 weeks ago and it reviewed this proposal, and they've approved that and sent it to this body for final approval. Mayor, do you want to have a vote on each project?
Yeah, we'll do them separately. By the way, I'm sure all of you know Kurt Ivey. Kurt is taking Mayor Staley's place here on this board, so he'll be a regular. Anything to add to that?
No,
any questions good. About this this transfer of funds? So DTAC has said they think this is a good idea.
Well, it's really the second step after getting the off-ramp, which is exit 12. We still want to keep as many people away from exit 10. That was really the purpose for all of this. And we figure by creating this extension going south, then it will create people not turning, going back to exit 10. That it'll get that kind of that north-south corridor going. So it's important to the city. We prioritize this as our number one project for the city. So.
I'll make a motion to reassign, unless there's more discussion. Sorry.
Is there more?
Nope.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Go ahead. I'll second
that. To reassign the previously programmed funds.
Okay. I have a motion, then a second, then the rest of the motion, and second on the whole thing. Right? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Is anybody opposed? Thank you. The second part of this is $388,000 to cover a feasibility study and concept development for three regionally significant bike or pedestrian trails, $198,000 to the SR18 trail, Snow Canyon Park to Central, $140,000 to the Virgin River Trail, Washington City to Grandpa's Pond and Hurricane, and $50,000 for the Sheep Bridge Road Trail.
So going through these one at a time, these are our carbon reduction program funds for 2025 and 2026. This is a request by Washington County to fund these three projects. State Route 18 project would take into account the bike trails along State Route 18. And what we're doing with this funding is establishing a good concept of what that would look like and try to identify any rights-of-way needs. Leslie Fonger is here, and she's going to back me up if I say something critically wrong.
One quick question. Snow Canyon to Vail.
Yeah. That makes more sense.
Man, I was excited while we're Central. Thinking for 198,000.
We have Vail Central now. We just finished that.
So that's my my error on the agenda, but it is Snow Canyon to Vail.
So does this predicate any kind of grant funding that they're trying to for the development of the trails? This study has to predicate it?
No, we're just trying to we're trying to get a good concept report feasibility study for the trail.
Got it.
I'm assuming the cycling folks are all in favor of continuing this, right?
Hoping that they can be within that.
Okay. So, the way how that works is the MPO would program $198,000. The county would have to come up with the 6.7% match and any additional costs that are incurred in the process.
Is that county funding through the
Leslie?
Road? I'm trying to think of the name of the road fund that we received the tax.
No, that's not BNC funds.
BNC funds? No. Just the county out of your budget?
It's recreational.
Okay.
So it would be your TRCC.
Okay.
Oh.
So 6.5%, and are you guys good with matching that?
Yeah, on all these projects, you know, the county's committed to this overall active transportation system. And so, for example, up SR18, you have a lot of people that use that corridor to practice for the marathon.
Oh,
yes. and can be quite dangerous. So working with UDOT, you know, they came to us and they were doing some road work from Bayo to Central, and we just barely finished in collaboration with them that page section. But the goal has always been to get it all the way into town. So, and the same with
well, this is our goal too.
Yeah,
from Grandpa's Pond to Washington, but
exactly.
I'm just saying it's not affecting our budget. I'm just saying it's affecting yours. So
we have the history of helping to fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, for example, you guys just barely finished, or are finishing, 600, you know, from Grandpa's Pond. The county helped out a little bit with some money for that as a part of this larger active transportation. We have a dream, and that dream is from Zion to St. George to Santa Clara. You can ride your bike.
It's
awesome.
Going to be good. It's going to be the best trail we've ever had.
Yes. No, I mean, it's awesome to see it unfold.
So do we need a motion on each one?
No, I don't think so. I think no. We'll just lump these together unless there's a serious question about that.
What's two and three?
Okay, so the second project on that list is the Virgin River Trail from Sunrise Valley to Grandpa's Pond. The existing Virgin River Trail ends at Washington City boundary, and what they're trying to do is extend that trail from Washington City along the Virgin River to Grandpa's Pond. This project again is to look at the feasibility of creating that trail and develop a really good concept of what needs to be done and what rights of way they would need.
How long a section is that?
That's about 7 miles.
Seven miles. That's a big piece.
Any questions on that one?
Then Sheep Ridge.
Myron, according to the map, and I actually walked this years ago, you go right by that historical structure. Is that privately owned, or is that that old
that
rock
one mill?
No, it's old. It's an old cotton mill down there. I think the water just comes.
I would just say
that's,
part of the.
That's way before. That's to the east.
That's.
So when you're.
There's one across
the golf thing up there. You
golf
go right across it.
Yeah.
You
oh,
see
okay.
it. I just hope that the feasibility study would include
it's
something
kind of,
to
yeah.
mark it or save it so that there's no vandalism because there's really nobody near it.
Right.
Yes, it would. So that one's Babylon Mills, and the other is clear up at the.
No, there's one south, straight east of the dump.
Yeah.
And there's Babylon Mill up above Grandpa's Pond, and there's one up underneath
right.
the bridge. So there's several on the river, the old ones.
Did you say Babylon Mill?
Yeah, that's just down from Leeds.
Those are good things to keep in mind as they
yeah.
do this study. Thank you.
Sheep Ridge.
The third project is the Sheep Ridge Road, State Route 9 to State Route 59. And again, this is a paved bike trail along Sheep Ridge Road. This project again is requested by the county, and they the county would bring the match. This is a trail that I think would really benefit the recreation activities in that area. Try to help keep the dust down, and it would work in conjunction with a road project that we're also anticipating on this area.
Yeah, what's the plan on paving the real road?
It's in the works. Yeah.
We just want to pave the trail.
That's what I was wondering. We're worried about dust, and we're going to pave a bike trail, but we're not going to pave the road.
So
it's
easier to pave a bike trail.
We paved the bridge just
that's
right off.
Line.
Right off the Virgin side.
On the Virgin side, and then we're in the middle of the NEPA work and securing the right of way now.
Congressman Malloy got us a lot of funding for us.
Right.
Yeah, there was a federal earmark.
So these the funds for these projects would come again from our carbon reduction program, fiscal year 2025 and 2026 funding, and there is also a small chunk of the TAP program, the Transportation Alternative Program, in these fund in this projects. So again, the motion we're looking for from this body is to approve these projects as presented.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
I'll make the motion. Do you want them all together? Or
yeah, just lump them.
Move to approve $388,000 feasibility study and concept development for three regionally significant bike ped trails as presented.
I'll second.
Thank you. Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Done. All right. Local updates. Anything exciting going on anywhere? Well, Highway 91 in Ivins is going under construction now to finish out to the Sheep Ridge boundary.
How much time?
I know y'all have road projects going on because I've tried to get through your cities.
We've got a road project coming this summer. We're going to resurface SR9 from. Are you starting in Virgin? You're starting in Rockville.
Is it? Where are we starting? Rockville.
Oh, is Chris here? Yes. Uh-huh. So, Chris, maybe you should talk about.
What do you want to talk about?
There will be delays.
And I guess it's good to note that we're working on additional crosswalks and possibly additional green paint that needs to make some of those cycling a little bit more noticeable, traffic and things like that. So we're doing it for road preservation, but we're also improving other things in the process.
Good. Anybody else?
I'm just going to say you're brave to do that from the new government.
I'm just going to say every road in America is going to be disrupted over the next 2 years with this irrigation expansion. And now we can say,
we're going to get a lot of complaints.
We are.
Okay. All right, UDOT.
The one thing I just wanted to bring up is I just wanted to let you know that the Transportation Commission did approve our scope addition and funding addition to the SR-18 South Bluff project. We're doing things now is going to save a lot of money in the future, which includes ensuring that we're making the walls where they need to be and providing. We have a partnership with St. George City for the trail, so we've added all those fundings, and so pretty excited about that to get that west side to where we're not going to be disturbing it anymore. And then we'll worry about the east side when that time comes. But pretty excited about what that project is now becoming. It's kind of morphed it through the time from to rehab of the road to knowing we had to address the drainage to now, you know, making sure we're taking care of our all users. So appreciate it.
You don't have anything very disruptive on I-15 this year, do you?
It's coming.
When?
Just waiting for it.
That'll be scheduled for advertisement for the construction, I believe, in December or January. And then that'd be exit 6 to 8, and then the addition of the two new underpasses at Flood Street and 900 South.
That's all going to be one big project?
Yeah, it's all going to be one big project.
Wow.
How's the Harrisburg to Hurricane exit southbound? Is that happening? Or?
The Harris?
Yeah, the widening of third lane from.
Oh, yeah, it's under design. Yeah, okay. It's under design right now.
So what are you thinking of?
It'll probably be next spring when that starts. Yeah.
So you got this year, everybody?
Yeah. A little reprieve.
It's going to be 7 lane, first ever 7 lanes in St. George, in Washington County. Cloud Street.
From the boulevard south?
From 100 south.
Well, it's going to be, and we're going to have the issues. I mean, we're going to have already it all designed and paved. We'll probably, on that southbound, even stripe it to the three-lane section currently because we have it and that's what we're doing. Even though it's not really needed yet, but we're going to make sure that we're not redoing work. And then we're saving like $8 to $10 million by doing it now.
Okay, thank you.
So that project's under design now.
Yes.
Construction next year.
Next.
So from Spillsbury.
We can't. No, I think they're trying to get that done. Maybe started this summer, but I'll get some updates as we get into spring. I'll get updates of projects that we'll expect this summer, and then one next summer.
It would be difficult if Bluff Street and I-15 were both under construction at the same time.
The whole point is they want to get Bluff Street done before I-15 impacts. So that's why I think that they're trying to get this out by June, I think. I think they're trying to get it out by early summer so that we can start that right away because we can continue to do work throughout the fall and stuff. So because we want to get that done before I-15.
Thank you.
Okay, federal updates.
My name is Rayleigh from Congresswoman Molloy's office. An update on some deals that we've been working on.
First is a bill that Congressman Malloy and Senator Mike Lee have worked on together, which transfers about 800 acres worth of federal land to Utah. So this includes land in Amarillo Island State Park, Wasatch Mountain, and Fremont Indian State Park. So this bill did pass, which we're always excited about, and it got signed into law last month. Another is a bill that has been introduced. It aims to amend the Antiquities Act of 1906. So this will give authority to transfer authority to designate national monuments from the president to Congress. So we want to keep the people in mind that live and work in these areas when making public land decisions to protect rural communities. Next is a bill that's been introduced called the West Act. In 2024, BLM wanted to make conservation a top priority. So oftentimes, as we know, setting large areas of land aside makes it harder to recreate, graze, all that, etc. So this bill will restore local control, and it will prevent the federal government from unnecessarily restricting land use. We want to ensure that people in the Western communities can continue to do business and live their way of life.
Okay.
As many of you may know, Congresswoman got appointed to the Appropriations Committee, which we are super excited about. We are still continuing to push for the Northern Corridor, and hopefully we'll see progress with the new administration. As always, if you need anything from our office, feel free to reach out.
Thank you. John? Thank you.
Very good. My name is Gary Webster, representing Senator Lee. The fact that yesterday was President's Day, I have a quote to read to you from Ronald Reagan. Socialism only works in two places, heaven where they don't need it, and hell where they already have it. So, so as you're aware, Senator Lee is the chair of Energy and Natural Resources, which I think will be tremendous as we deal with situations with the Forest Service, BLM, and the National Park Service, and other related entities. As a result, he's been working feverishly within the last several weeks in the confirmation hearings, the last one of those high-profile hearings, and probably final vote will take place this week with the FBI director, Kash Patel. We are also, a couple pieces of legislation that Senator Lee has recently introduced is the Repeal the Impoundment Control Act. That is current law. It's a roadblock that limits presidential authority to reject wasteful spending, which we are hearing a lot about currently. Also, another bill that he has sponsored is the Reorganizing Government Act of 2025, and that prohibits the increase in the size of the federal workforce and its expenditures. So we're seeing many of these, certainly locally, there have been some layoffs in the BLM and the Forest Service. I heard
the National Park.
The National Park Service. And speaking of the National Park Service, I have visited with three of the five recently, and they express a lot of concern over hiring of seasonals. So we're working through some of these challenges that I think will confront our local area. Senator Lee, in a recent video, expressed his concern and his support for the Northern Corridor, and he will continue to do so. So if you need anything, please reach out to me. We'll be able to forward information to our folks within our office. We had some movement, which is pretty interesting because as you become a chair, now he has about 25 individuals that he will be working with in the Energy and Natural Resources Committee. And we had some movement there from our existing staff to go over to work with that as a legislative directive. So I think that's a good thing. We have that direct connection. Yes.
Gary, any movement on the Houses Act? Is that on the radar or is it planned for any type?
I certainly hope so, because with the reconciliation bill that will take place, I'm not sure if that will be included, but that's something we certainly need because in asking recently Forest Service, I was up in Ogden last week, and there are challenges in literally designating a couple of acres where, for example, I think, Brian, you mentioned some things up in Pine Valley. for a fire station, and it's very challenging to go through the process. In the BLM, there's this huge matrix. I was visiting with them last week, and he pointed to a box, Jason West did, and said, this box, amid all of this, there are 28 different levels within DC that we have to go through for a transfer. So Houses Act would be tremendous, tremendously beneficial.
I just think it's good timing. It's good timing where the state's working with Settler right now on similar, more local type and uses. So that'd be great.
We hear an awful lot about the need for the Houses Act. Thanks.
Gary, so I think it was last week, Dr. Kathleen Sigma has been nominated to run the BLM, director of BLM.
Yes.
Have you heard any as far as confirmation timeframes?
Haven't heard any confirmation, but I don't believe she will be as high profile and as controversial. She does come from the oil and gas industry, and that may be something that, obviously it will be something that people will be concerned about. But if we are to dig ourselves out of the energy challenges that we see, she'll be very helpful in that regard.
Well, the first administration never had a fully confirmed BLM director, which made it difficult.
Yeah, and we still have hundreds and hundreds of confirmations to go through after this highest level. And so she's on about the second or third level.
And Gary, remind the senator that Washington County and its cities and towns were DOGE before that was popular. Also, because we have a budget, right? That the Park Service during COVID was all too happy to have everyone sit at home, and they could easily have been painting fences or doing things 6 feet apart. So the fact they've lost 11 employees doesn't get a lot of tears from me.
I'll pass that along.
Gary, anything else on RAINS, on the RAINS Act? Anything new on that?
That is one thing that, as Senator Lee has literally posted in just about everything that he said recently, is we must pass the RAINS Act, and that's part of the reconciliation bill we're hopeful for.
Okay.
I just want to express gratitude. We have Congress and senators that are back there working on our behalf, and they're doing such a great job. I've been back to D.C. twice in this last month, and I am so grateful for the good work they're doing. Please pass along the real appreciation from Southern Utah. How much work that I know that we're going to get the Northern Corridor in because of their work, because they're on the appropriations and natural resources. They're going to be able to do some of the things that we have not had. And when I was talking to like Congresswoman Malloy, she made the comment, we are going to ratify in Congress the things that Trump is doing so that we can make sure that it's not just changed after his administration, which is really a blessing. That's what we need. People back there moving it forward through the process.
Very good.
So, thank you.
Thanks.
Really great. And the last thing is about prevention, because I was back there for prevention, and it was amazing for one of the trips. It was amazing to see how supportive they are to help our youth, and they were listening to these young kids and what they're doing, and their concerns on vape, on underage drinking, and so I'm really grateful because they specifically had just passed it. That day that we were there, the Senate passed, because the day before the Congress had passed, on fentanyl and regulating for the Class A and the Class 1 instead of a, it's going to change and make a difference for our officers to be able to put these, enact the law and to put these people away. So, anyway.
Thank you.
Anybody else? I'm not recognizing.
All right. Any other business? Anybody? DTAC, March.
I just want to say one thing. I think the chair has done a great job.
Well, that's just ever so nice of you all.
Eight more.
DTAC, March 4th. DTAC, March 18th. Anything else?
March 4th.
Oh, well.
So we'll do our DTAC meeting that day, at the advisory committee that day. But you're welcome to come if you want.
But thanks for letting us all know.
I just want to know the quorum line.
No COGS following this meeting, as I understand, right? So, motion to adjourn?
Made.
Motion.
Done. Any opposed? Off we go.
Off we go.